This Is Your Life, Season 2, Episode 8. Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to give you the clarity, courage, and commitment you need to do what matters. My name is Michelle Cachette. I'm your co-host today, and I'm sitting in the studio with Michael Hyatt. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Michelle.
So tomorrow is, at least in the United States of America, Thanksgiving.
One of my very favorite holidays.
Well, I have to say, out of all the holidays on the calendar, it is the top of my list. I look forward to it every year. And after Thanksgiving is over, I actually feel a letdown because it really is the pinnacle of my year.
Why is that?
I think it's probably because it's probably the most unadulterated holiday, right? There's no commercialism. It's remained relatively simple and pure. And it's really just about family getting together.
I never thought about that before, but I think you're exactly right. There's no gifts to exchange. Maybe the turkey people. I mean, that's commercial, but other than that, yeah.
And the ham people. Let's not forget the ham people.
We'll get mail on that.
Yes. There's just something about it. We don't feel pressure to buy cards for it, anything. It's really just about opening your door and inviting family or friends over or going somewhere, being with family and friends. And it's just about being together. There's something about that I love.
Well, and I think also for both of us, it's about something that we value very highly, which is gratitude.
True. Which is a wonderful thing when life is going well, but is it possible to have this sense of gratitude when you're going through one of those seasons when life doesn't feel like a gift at all? You know, when tragedy strikes, when you get an unexpected phone call with bad news, when you, what about those people right now that are getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow and they've lost a family member within the last year, which I know what that feels like. And then all of a sudden, does life really feel like a gift? Well, not so much. It really feels like a tragedy instead. So how do you recapture this sense of gratitude even when life isn't quite what you want it to be? Is that possible?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely possible. And I know we're going to talk about that in this episode. But, you know, gratitude is one of those things that I think is so essential for the human spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, that when you think about what the opposite of it is, you know, maybe cynicism or just kind of a bitter outlook towards life, you know, it's like poison for our soul. And there's something about gratitude that's liberating, that's invigorating, that's satisfying, and something all of us could use more of. And it's a shift in perspective.
Absolutely. Dale Carnegie said this in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It isn't what you have or who you are or where you are or what you are doing that makes you happy or unhappy. It's what you think about it. I mean, that's a pretty powerful quote. And like you said, it's all perspective.
Yeah, it is. I mean, so much of how we perceive and experience the world, I mean, 100% is about our thoughts, how we think about it. You know, you can take two different people looking at the same situation and they can take away completely different perspectives. And largely based on this attitude of gratitude, as cheesy as that sounds, or not. You know, people can see what's missing or they can see what's there.
Have you had a season in your life where you really got stuck in thinking on what is missing, thinking of what has been lost?
Yeah. You know, and I've had these situations where maybe everything wasn't going well or I had a setback or whatever. And then maybe just in a moment of lucidity, I think, wait a second. I'm living in this country with this family, with an amazing job, whatever it is. I mean, and again, it's not that my family's any different than somebody else's. It's just that to notice that and to be grateful for it can shift everything. And so I really think it has very little to do with our external circumstances. I remember I went to Greece about 20 years ago, and I went, it was kind of a spiritual pilgrimage, and I went to a number of different monasteries there. And I was standing with this older monk looking out over the Aegean Sea. And I don't know if you've ever seen the Aegean Sea before, but it's just absolutely gorgeous. Turquoise water, really clear, hardly a wave on it. It was so peaceful. And we were standing out on his veranda of the small cottage he lived in. And I said, wow, this is so peaceful. And he didn't say anything immediately. But then after a few minutes of silence, and he said to me, you know, if you have peace in your heart, this can feel very peaceful. But he said, if you don't, even this can be hell.
Oh, wow.
And his point was that kind of this spiritual atmosphere that we carry around internally is the determining factor in how we experience life. Because there are people that are in very difficult circumstances where they don't have a lot that can be happy as you can be. I mean, I remember going to Ethiopia when Gail and I went in 2009, and we saw these people in Ethiopia who had very little, almost nothing, and yet seemed to us to be extraordinarily happy. And yet I've been with people, and you've been with people that seem to have everything. They have all the creature comforts, extraordinary wealth, and are absolutely miserable.
Yes.
Hate their lives.
Troy and I saw the same thing when we went to South Africa, spent 2 weeks in the poorest area of South Africa. Same thing. I mean, in fact, when we came back to the United States, it was a kind of a huge shock to come back after being immersed with the poorest of the poor, who were very content and joyful in spite of that. You know, they had this sense of peace about them that I couldn't even describe. And then to come back and instantly we could sense the constant kind of murmur of discontent being back in the United States.
Yeah, as it turns out, more stuff doesn't necessarily make you more happy.
So true.
And oftentimes it can be a distraction. And the way we compare ourselves with other people, and this may be a particular problem in the West, I don't know, social media probably contributes to that, because we can see ourselves in comparison to everybody else. And I love Facebook for this, but you know, everybody's posting about what a wonderful life they have and all this great stuff that's going on. And you
go, the Facebook effect.
Yeah, exactly. My life's not so hot. Until we focus on the right things, and then it is.
And then we see something different.
Yeah.
You know, I've thought of this in terms of parenting. You know, there's times when your children aren't exactly behaving like little angels. I don't know if your girls ever didn't behave like angels.
No,
but
they were all,
never. They were
angels.
Perfection. But then I sit there and I can get really in this mindset of complaining about how difficult parenting is, or how much I'm not enjoying it. It's not so much fun. Until I think about the couple that I know who have tried desperately to have children and don't have any.
Yeah.
And changes then my perspective. Same thing can be said of marriage or a job. Gosh, we can complain so much about our jobs until we have a friend who's been unemployed for a year and we realize, gosh, it's a really good thing to have an employment.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's all a matter of perspective. Not that it makes our situations perfect, but we can have gratitude even in the midst of less than ideal circumstances. If we know the ways to transform today, and that's really what we're talking about, is how do you take today, regardless of where you find yourself today, for those of you that may be in a less than ideal circumstance, you can actually transform the way that you view today and how you even experience today. And we're going to walk you through different ways to do that. And hopefully then, as we, for those of us in the United States, move into Thanksgiving tomorrow, it can be a true experience of gratitude and maybe the highlight of your year in spite of circumstances.
Amen to that.
So let's start. What would be one of the first ways that you can transform today?
Well, I think first, just noticing the gifts that are around you. And we have a choice in terms of what we notice. We can notice, as I said earlier, what's missing or what we have. And whether we're living in abundance or whether we're living in lack is largely a matter of perspective. And I remember going to a wealth seminar, interestingly, and the guy that was leading it said, you know, you're never going to get more in life until you learn to be grateful for what you already have. And so the first part of this seminar, he spent the entire time just going through a gratefulness exercise with us, of us writing down everything in our lives that we were grateful for. And I thought the perspective was so powerful. And his and he was really making the point that more money is not going to make you more happy. And so developing the discipline, or cultivating the discipline, of noticing the things that are in life that are beautiful. We were watching this video before we began this episode, this one that comes from Brother David Steindl-Rast. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, but he's a Benedictine monk. And he has this wonderful little video on gratitude. And he says, you know, you think this is just another day in your life. It's not just another day. It's the one day that is given to you today. It's the only gift that you have right now, and the only appropriate response is gratefulness. And he talked about in there about just noticing, you know, our surroundings and to be thankful for it. Yeah, it may be the surroundings that we wake up to every day, but if we really notice the sunset, the clouds, the expression on people's faces, just the work that we have, whatever it is, but to begin to take notice of that. Because it's easy for us to notice the things that are wrong, the things
What's
that are missing.
Yeah.
Yep. And say, you know, if I only had this, if I only had that, why can't I do this? And Michelle, I was thinking about this too. It largely comes back to the questions that we ask ourselves internally. This is what focuses our attention and causes us to notice. If we wake up in the morning and we say to ourselves, what's great about my life? That's going to yield a certain answer. Uh-huh. If we say to ourselves, why am I in this situation? Why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? Then our brain, like a computer, is going to furnish up different answers to that. So we've got to ask ourselves the right questions. And it begins really, I think, with noticing.
Noticing the gifts around you.
Yep.
Now, you mentioned briefly writing that down. Do you think that's a valuable, I mean, do you think that's a necessary exercise, or at least it adds some kind of concrete kind of nature to what we're noticing? I think sometimes we can drive and notice the gifts, but there's something about writing it down that takes it a step further.
Absolutely. I do this every morning.
Do you really? Every single day?
As a part of my journaling process, I have a template that I follow because I get stuck like anybody else. And if I just had to sit down and start writing about my life, you know, there are some mornings that I would do that. Most mornings I wouldn't. So I have some prompts, and I have a series of about 7 questions. I've written on this on my blog before. But one of them is what am I thankful for right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I write this as a series of bullets. And sometimes it's as simple as, you know, I got to sleep in a dry bed last night. You know, I got
to... I mean, for those that didn't have one, it really is a beautiful gift.
Yeah.
We take that for granted, but...
Or I got a good night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Or I get to do amazing work today. And it's not that my work is so amazing, except that I choose for it to be amazing because mm-hmm. that's how I choose to perceive it. And so for me, it begins, I think that's the way to begin every day. And that's how I begin every day, by writing it down. And there's something about writing it down that makes it real and concrete.
Now, what about those who... let me back up for a minute. So, you know, I've had some circumstances this year that some would say are very unfortunate, like a diagnosis that, you know, is a very scary diagnosis. And some would say, well, that's a terrible thing. One of the ways that I've coped is because I start to look at it from a standpoint of not the negative, but what does that make possible? Or how is this positively given me an opportunity that I wouldn't have had any other way? Or even looking at like a broader scope of the world and so many things that people are enduring that makes, suffering is not unique to me. It's very universal. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of puts it in that perspective. So then it doesn't feel like this huge negative. Now, some people would say that's more living in denial. So what role, I mean, is recognizing the gifts and trying to have a positive spin a way of denying reality? Or is it just choosing to be focus on the positive?
I think it's a question of acknowledging the fullness of reality. Yeah, our life is filled with things that are difficult, or we experience those things. You had the difficult diagnosis. That's a reality. That's mm-hmm. not something you have to deny or dismiss. It's just that doesn't define your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the only thing going on in your life. You know, you went through a very difficult thing and losing your father. I mean, that's a enormously difficult thing, but it's not the only thing that happened this year. And so our life is this blend, this mixture of good and bad. And I think that too often as humans, we give unequal weight to the bad. And
yes.
we can get stuck there by focusing on it. I do think we have to acknowledge that.
True. But gratitude doesn't... Gratitude doesn't mean dismissing grief either.
No,
there can
not at
be
all.
They can coexist. There can be like a sense of grief or a valid sense of loss and gratitude layered on top of it at the same time. They don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of the human experience and what makes our life have a richer, more comprehensive texture to it. But again, I think we got to be careful about letting one of those perspectives define everything mm-hmm. about our life. And we need more gratitude. We don't need more complaining, more...
No, we really don't.
Yeah.
And really, the complaining doesn't serve any further purpose. Now, grieving has a purpose.
Yes,
and,
that's purposeful.
You know, validating a loss and acknowledging feelings, absolutely, very much a purpose there. But when we get stuck there or it turns into this kind of bitter complaining cycle that we can't get out of, it doesn't serve that purpose anymore. And that's when we use gratitude to kind of propel ourselves forward.
That's right. And I've got myself out of a funk numerous times by doing that very thing, where I've just said, look, I'm scared, or I'm uncertain, or I'm feeling a little down in the dumps. And I've just trained myself over the years, okay, what can I be grateful for?
Mm-hmm.
And initially, it feels like I'm swimming against the current. Mm-hmm. You know, this is so hard.
It's true.
My life stinks. There's nothing good about my life. And so I just force myself, okay, keep identifying. What am I thankful for? And after a while, after maybe a few minutes of that, the tide turns and I feel my spirits lift and it just changes my perspective.
You know what I've found works as well is if I make, well, we've talked about writing it down, but making a list. I've done this with my marriage early on in my marriage. I don't know about you, but some of those early years were a little bit challenging at times.
Yes, they were.
And so one thing that I did, I noticed at times that I was getting into a cycle of negativity where all I was seeing were the things that were wrong in my marriage or things that frustrated me or annoyed me, you know, just kind of that kind of immature pattern that I was in. And so what I needed to do was make a list of all the qualities that I loved about my husband. I wrote it on a tiny, tiny piece of paper and put it in my wallet and my purse. Now, I had to write that on a good day because if it would have been a bad day, it would have been harder to come up with a list. But I wrote it on a good day. And what I found is then when I had a day when I struggled, I could pull that out and remember. So when I was in that mode of there's nothing good about my life, the sky is falling, I could pull that out and remind myself again of the good. And just having that list easily accessible was so valuable for me.
Oh, it's so powerful. You know, I've done that so many times, too. I've blogged on that very topic. But you get to decide what you're going to focus on. Mm-hmm. And the scary part of that is you're going to get more of what you focus on. So if what you're focusing on with your spouse or your job.
That's really good. You're going to get more of what you focus on. That is scary.
It is.
It's also very helpful if you choose to focus on the right
things. Then you can use
it
to your advantage.
That's good stuff. Okay, so the first way to transform today is to notice the gifts around you. Wherever you are right now, by the way, I wanted to say this earlier. If you're somewhere where you can write, no, so those of you who are driving, this would not be for you. But if you're in your office or at home or wherever you may be, if you have a piece of paper or maybe you have your computer where you could open a digital file, whatever, I'd highly recommend that you write some of these down because just the exercise of spending these 30 minutes with us walking through this could literally transform your day. That's what we really are promising that will
happen.
That's
our hope. Absolutely.
Okay. So the first way, notice the gifts around you. And if you have that piece of paper, just write down a couple things real quick. Now we're going to move on to the next way. What's the second?
Open your heart to receive these gifts.
Okay. Now unpack that for me, because what does that look like?
Be in a position of being responsive or being the recipient of a gift. What if everything in life, you know, things don't just happen to you, they happen for you. What if there, and you know, I am a person of faith and you are too. And so I believe that God is active in our lives and that everything that comes into my life, there's an intent. Now, I know that there are really evil things that happen to people and I can't explain those and I'm not even going to try. But most of what I experience in my life are good things. Mm-hmm. And I need to open my heart to receive those as though they're given to me, that there's a purpose in them, that the intention behind them is good.
So, for example, if I'm out for a walk and I live in Colorado, as you know, and Colorado has some pretty amazing sunsets, right? It's beautiful, gorgeous. I can go out for a walk. And let's say there's a night where there's an incredible sunset and I notice it. But when I take it to the next step, I don't just notice it. I assume that it, for me, being a person of faith, that it's God's gift to me, that he just gave me this, painted the sky. It's beautiful. It's something that is a gift to me to add joy to my life. And I receive it as something that is intended for me, not just a random thing that I stumbled across.
Well, think about this, Michelle. Our world is filled with extravagant, purposeless beauty.
Mm-hmm.
It's only there to delight us and be a gift to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the amazing thing is in recent years, even the people that explore the deepest parts of the ocean, they go down there and they find out that there's just all these amazing fish and beautiful stuff. And you go, why was all that created? Nobody can even see it.
Uh-huh.
And it's just extravagant beauty. And it's there in the sunset. It doesn't have to be that way. I mean, the world could be, you know, black and white. Maybe our color spectrum would be smaller and we couldn't see all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we can. Or all the aromas that we
smell. Yes.
And, as you know, I was recently in Europe and I was, you know, to smell, walk through the Alps and to smell all the wildflowers the sweet grasses and all of that, you know, and you just go, this is an amazing gift and I receive it as a gift and I'm going to be thankful for this. It doesn't serve at least any function that I can see other than just for my delight.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
And the same could be true for those of you that tomorrow will have family gathered with you for Thanksgiving or, you know, wherever you may be, that to receive that as a gift, the fact that you even have family that love you or friends that love you that want to gather.
Even in all its dysfunction.
Even in, you know, dysfunction? Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about.
We were talking about that earlier. And I mean, all of us have dysfunctional families. I mean, I've contributed to my own dysfunction.
Me too.
Somebody told me to save for the kids' college, save for the girls' wedding. What they didn't tell me was to save for the kids'
therapist.
You know, but that's kind of like another category of stuff.
So, we just got rid of the college fund. We converted it to a therapist fund.
But there's lots of stuff to be thankful for.
Totally.
In our families. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the older I've gotten, the more I appreciate my parents. You know, things that when I was younger would annoy me, and now they're just kind of charming.
Yeah,
you know,
it's so true. It's so true.
So to be thankful
I've had
for
that
it.
Experience even just in the last few weeks. So the things that just drove me crazy became precious.
Yeah.
Absolutely precious. All right. So notice the gifts around you. The second way to transform today, open your heart to receive them. What's the third way?
Express your gratitude for them.
All right. So literally say something that converts your appreciation into actual words.
You know, it could be a simple prayer. It could be expressing your gratitude to that person, or just, you know, if you're not a person of faith, just speaking it out loud. There's a power in acknowledgement and expressing it that makes it more concrete, that makes it connect with it, makes us connect with it in a way that we don't otherwise. And it's important for us, I think, to be able to do that. And that's what Thanksgiving is all about, and why I particularly like that holiday in the U.S., is that we're able to express that. And so I think it's important even on the day when we get all our families together is to not just kind of like make it about turkey and make it about football and all those other wonderful things with Thanksgiving.
Which we'll still receive those as gifts.
Yes, as gifts. If our
and
team
we'll
wins.
And we'll express our gratitude for them. However.
And we've done this for years, is to go around the table and express, what are you thankful for this past year?
Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing is it doesn't have to be Thanksgiving. So for those of you that live in another country besides the United States, you can make your own Thanksgiving Day. It doesn't have to be a national holiday to do this.
No, and I think it's so central to the human experience. You know, and again, I don't want to make this too spiritual necessarily, because this isn't a religious broadcast, but it is interesting in the history of Christianity that the weekly worship in the history of the church was often referred to as the Eucharist. And the meaning of that Greek word, or the Greek word from which it comes, is thanksgiving, or to give thanks. Uh-huh. And so that was the central act of the church, and the central thing that defined Christians and defined people of faith is that they're thankful.
Hmm.
And there's one of my favorite writers is a man by the name of Alexander Schmemann, who wrote a book called For the Life of the World. And he defines man as not Homo sapiens, but as Eucharistic man. You know, that's the thing that distinguishes man from the animals, is that he's able to give thanks.
Oh, wow. That's
that
beautiful.
Distinguishes him from all of creation.
That is beautiful. You know, it really is. We talk so much on this podcast and you do on your blog about using our influence, leveraging our influence to lead well. And it's amazing how powerful gratitude is when it comes to our own influence.
Mm.
I mean, gratitude is a very powerful force that we don't always leverage very well.
Well, so true. And it's going to get into our next point a little bit. But expressing our gratitude can be hugely motivational to other people. I mean, you just think of how many times somebody just took the time to thank you for something and what it did to your spirit.
Absolutely.
What it did to your motivation, what it did to your resolve to finish a task maybe that you were about to quit.
Mm-hmm.
I had the experience today. I was listening to somebody's podcast, a good friend of mine. And I just thought, I'm just going to write him and tell him how much I appreciated it. And he wrote me back and he said, you have no idea how timely this was. He said, just based on what's going on in my life, he said, I'm just very discouraged. And he said, just that simple email that you wrote me has lifted my spirits. Thank you so much.
And it took you, I mean, how much did it cost you? A couple, like a minute?
Yeah, a minute.
And nothing, no big deal. I mean, gosh, if we responded, there's so many times I feel that kind of nudge or urge to do it, and so many times I brush it off. But when I actually follow through and do it, almost every time, it was exactly what needed to happen at that moment.
Yeah, and I think, I wonder sometimes where we're so stingy to do that. You know, maybe it's because we're distracted, maybe because we're busy. But the thing that I love about this holiday that we're going into is we can take time mm-hmm. to really express it, not only to God if we're people of faith, but to one another.
Absolutely.
And to tell them what we're thankful for.
That would be a great thing for me, for you, for those of you who are listening, is just to make a commitment at this point. And if you have that piece of paper or digital file, to make it a commitment to sometime in the next 24 hours to find at least one or two people that you will make an intentional effort to go and express some kind of thanksgiving to them, gratitude to them for something they've either, what they mean to you, something they've done for you, some way that you appreciate them.
That'd be fantastic.
All right, let's move on. The fourth way. So far we have the first way is notice the gifts around you, then open your heart to receive them, express your gratitude for them, and then finally,
bless them. Bless someone else.
Bless someone else.
And this is a little bit more than expressing gratitude, but it's maybe a random act of kindness. When we were in Switzerland, we ate at this Italian restaurant. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to frame this, but we got waited on by the owner. And so he was very directive to us about what he thought we should eat. We asked him, you know, how's the veal? And he said, oh my gosh, he said, that's exactly what you need to order. He said, I put my reputation on it. He was very emphatic about it. He said, order that, you'll love it. And I said to him, I said, what about the mixed green salad? Is that it pretty good? He said, oh, it's fantastic. Definitely get that. And I said, okay. So he brought it out and it was extraordinary. So he brought out the salad. And so he saw me enjoying this. And so a few minutes later, he came out and he handed me four slices of heirloom tomatoes, each one of them different. Wasn't part of the dinner that I'd ordered. He just said, hey, I just picked these up at the market today. And he just said, I really think you'll enjoy these. And he just took a second to bless me. And I mean, it was like candy. It was so awesome. But that was just a little kindness, something he didn't have to do that blessed me. And it added unbelievable pleasure to that meal that evening. And the veal, by the way, was amazing.
And what the bonus of that is that in him doing that for you, it transformed his day as well. Because I can just imagine his delight. And I mean, the fact that he wanted to do this meant that he loved watching you enjoy the meal that you had recommended. So he just wanted to take it another step further. So he was blessed in return.
He was totally blessed. And the thing about it is, you know, the restaurant business is really tough. You know, I've worked in that industry back when I was in college and before. But it's a really tough industry. And to see somebody who is so delighting in his profession, I said to Gail as we were sitting there, I said, this guy loves his work. For him, this is a calling. And so he sees his part of his joy in life is blessing other people through his expression, his art of food.
That's I people like that, I just love being around.
Me too.
Don't you?
All of us have that power.
I know. We can all be that kind
of
person.
We all have this kind of superpower, if we'd make use of it, to bless somebody, to do something nice, to go that extra mile, to take the initiative to make somebody's life better. So
let's talk about that for a minute, because you're absolutely right, but yet it's not happening. So what do you think is the so we've already gone through all four ways to transform today. What do you think is the biggest obstacles to having this kind of daily perspective, this kind of approach to life?
Well, I'm going to tell you what it is for me. I don't know what it is for everybody else, but when I feel overwhelmed and I don't have any margin, I become very self-centered. And I'm only focused on my problems. And I hardly know that anybody else exists in the world. But not everybody else in the world, you know, is a bit actor in this movie about my life. You know, they have their own lives and their own meaning. And we're all in this together. And so if I've got enough margin in my life, and by that I mean not overcommitted, I've got some time to breathe, then I'm able to notice the other people in my life and what they need and what I can do to help them.
That's okay. First of all, you totally just stepped on my toes. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Ouch. But you're right. When I'm overwhelmed or when I'm in a difficult season or whatever, I can become so self-centered. All I really see is myself. I don't do it intentionally. I'm not trying to be that. But I think there's a part of us that when we're dealing with something that is big or difficult or whatever, we kind of circle the wagons and look inward, which is kind of self-preservation. But what happens is we can get stuck there and become so self-consumed that we forget to break out of that. And that's why today's episode and these four ways to transform today are so key, because they help move us out of this kind of circle of self-centeredness to see something beyond that.
Well, and this is the great thing about holidays too, because it's a time when we can put a little more space in our life. We can let down our normal routine, and we have the opportunity to acknowledge what's around us, whether it's the people or our surroundings or the food. All of that's possible if we have more margin. Being grateful can be just like one more thing on our to-do list, and it can feel even more overwhelming. So the real secret to me, at least the real secret for me, is to put more margin in my life so I've got more time to notice, to receive these gifts, to express my gratitude, to bless other people.
Well, on this note, after we've been talking about this idea of gratitude and getting ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow, let me just take a minute to express my Thanksgiving, because the reality is, Michael, for the last several years, you've been a good friend. You've been a coworker that I admire, somebody that has taught me so much and led me along on my journey. And my life has definitely been transformed just by your influence. And I say this very sincerely. Even though we're kind of on the episode here, it's just true. I would tell you this even if we weren't here. So thank you for the ways that you've invested in my life. I'm truly different because of your influence.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Well, if you've enjoyed today's conversation on gratitude, you can get all the show notes and an entire transcript of this episode at michaelhyatt.com. If you'd prefer to watch the video instead of the audio, you can also find that at Michael's website. Again, that address is michaelhyatt.com. Do you have any final thoughts?
I just say be thankful. Enter fully into this holiday. If you're celebrating it in the U.S., if you're not, you know, create an opportunity. But just practice gratitude. It'll change your life.
So true. Well, thanks for being with us again today. Until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Do what matters. On the next episode of This Is Your Life, Michael and I are going to talk about the three forces that shape character and how you can leverage them to shape yours.
It's easy to keep yourself busy managing your perception or the image that you project to the world. And as you said, I think this is kind of the dark side of social media. You know, it doesn't have to be, but it definitely can be, because we can present to the world the person that we wish we were, sort of, you know, to put it in the best possible light, the aspirational view of ourselves, as opposed to who we really are. And I think the secret to long-term success and lasting impact is to really focus on development of that personal character. That's what's going to carry us through when we inevitably hit setbacks or bumps in the road or suffering or whatever. And it's, you know, it's going to happen to all of us.
That's next time on This Is Your Life.